This is the last Shabbat before we start the cycle again to read through the Torah portions for the year. And I really feel strongly that this next year, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be preaching through the Torah portions from my messages. And the reason I want to do that is because, you know, we always talk about how the Torah is foundational, that the Torah is the basis for everything. The Torah is the instructions. It doesn't mean law, it means instructions. And it was just, I just felt this strong prompting that we should go through it this year together, that we should really learn through it. In the Torah, you're going to see things like the Lord, you're going to see sin, you're going to see the children of Israel, you're going to see Yeshua. We're going to see Yeshua this year when we go through it. We really are. And so I'm excited about that. I'm really excited to go through it, and I'm excited for you that we can explore it together, go through it together, and really grow from it. But this week, we have one more week until we get there. And I thought, well, what can I preach on? What can I talk about? And I was really impressed to talk about this next thing, which is the glory of God. Because before we can get to the scriptures, and we're going right to the beginning of the scriptures, right? We're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to go through the first five books of the Bible. Before we even get there, we need to understand, what is this concept, the glory of God? Because if we don't understand the Lord, really, and His glory and what that's all about, we're not going to understand what the Scriptures say. We're not going to understand the framework for what is going to lie before us in the Torah. When we use the word glory, we have many applications in our culture. You know, when you think of the word glory, there's a lot of different things in our popular culture that you can latch onto or think about. You've heard the phrase, no guts, no glory. You know, glory is this thing where when you're a race car driver, right? You're Kyle Busch or whoever, Dale Earnhardt Jr., whatever, and you win the race. You win the whatever, and I don't follow racing, so I don't exactly know the terminology, but you get all the glory. When you win the basketball championship, you know, LeBron finally won it for the Cleveland Cavaliers this past year. He got all the glory. They got all the glory. What does that mean? There's songs that are written about the glory. I remember a song in the 80s, Glory of Love by Peter Cetera, one of my favorite singers. So we think we have this concept of glory, but do we understand what it really means? We say it a lot. We if you remember when we were singing today, we said glory of God. We sang it. But what does it mean? We say it so much. Do we really understand what it is? So today I want to talk about God's glory as the basis, as the foundation for everything we're going to be learning this year. What does it mean? How does it relate to us? And how does it affect us? Let's look at our first scripture today. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. You probably have read this several times. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. When we think of eating and drinking, that's kind of a mundane thing, right? Usually when you're eating and drinking today in today's culture, at least me, I'm driving in my car and I've got a hamburger in my mouth and I've got a Coke, you know. Oh, I'm trying to drive and all these crazy drivers on the road. And you got to think of the glory of God. Do all. When that person cuts you off and you got that piece of hamburger in your mouth, the glory of God. Think about the glory of God, not what you want to do to that person, okay? Do all to the glory of God. Whatever you do. Now that means when you're at work, do your work to the glory of God. That means when you're home with your family, live for the glory of God. That means when you're in your synagogue, certainly we know, okay, the glory of God, let's get all holy, we come to synagogue. But when you're at home, when you're at work, when you're in the road, on the road, do all things to the glory of God. Okay, so we got that in our head, right? It's all about God. Everything we're going to do all year long with the Torah, whatever we read, wherever you are, it's really, really, it's all about God. We think that it's all about us, don't we? The world revolves around us. Each of us worries about ourselves, our lives, maybe our family, our job, our situation. We tend to have this thing where the world is like spinning around us. We're constantly thinking about our welfare, about our situation, even our walk with the Lord. Everything's about us a lot of the time. But all things are about God. And we're supposed to do all to the glory of God. Okay, so that's the framework. It's all about God. It's not about us. I'm going to read you a quote from a theologian today named John Piper. You may have read some of his books or heard him preach. He's a very famous preacher. God, he talks a lot about glory and God's glory. He says, John Piper's quote, "God's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy his glory forever." I'm going to say that again. God's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy his glory forever. And he, like I said, he writes extensively about the glory of God. He goes on to say, and this is a really interesting comment here, "God loves his glory more than he loves us, and that this is the foundation of his love for us." The fact that he loves his glory, and his glory is what it's all about, that should give us comfort. And I'll explain why. But it sounds very conceited, doesn't it? Oh, God only cares about his glory. He doesn't care about me. God doesn't care about me as much as his glory. God's only concerned with himself. See, a lot of people, and I'm telling you, a lot of people in this world reject the Lord because it's all about him and not about them. They don't feel like it's all revolving around them. And you'd be surprised how many people walk away from the faith. If they've grown up in the faith, they walk away because it's all about God. It's not about me. Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. So let's look at scriptures today, because you could listen to me say, oh, it's all about God's glory. Okay, Rabbi says that. But what does the Bible say really about God's glory? The Bible says a lot about how God loves us, which he does. But what is God saying in the scriptures about his glory? Isaiah 48, 9 through 11. "For my name's sake, I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise, I restrain it for you, that I may not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." Wow, that's an important scripture. God doesn't rely on us to do good or to do right or to bring him glory. I'm going to tell you right now, if you're thinking that God is relying on you to bring him glory, you're sadly mistaken. God doesn't need us to provide glory to him. He doesn't need us to provide glory to him. Because why? We constantly mess up and fail. I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. And I screw up a lot of the time. And I think if you're honest with yourself, you'll think, oh, you know, I screw up too. I mess up too. And thank God, God doesn't rely on my praise and my glory of him to keep going. Thank God he doesn't get weary when I forget to glorify him one day, or I don't glorify him as much as the last day, or I'm in a bad mood, and so I don't take enough time for God. Thank goodness he's not affected by that. Okay? He's not affected by our mood or our lack of serving him. If he was relying on that, he would be so let down all the time, wouldn't he? Think about your life. Wouldn't God be let down a lot of the times because we're not providing him enough glory? And how much is enough glory? Okay? God does things for the sake of his own glory. He can swear by his glory. He can't swear by our behavior. He can't swear by our serving of him. He can't swear by our attitude or our stamina or our strength. He can swear by his glory, and he can rely on his glory. So what happens when we don't give him glory? How does he get his glory? He always gets glory. He orchestrates events. He orchestrates situations so that his name can be glorified in all the earth. Not for man or even creation to glorify him, but that he may glorify himself so that we can look at him and we can trust in him, because his glory will always be there, because we can always look and see that God is glorified, not based on man, but based on him. Let's look at a scripture here. I'm going to illustrate this a little bit for you. Exodus. Go to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9, we're talking about Pharaoh, the children of Israel, you know, kind of the Exodus going out. "Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go so that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you yourself and on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. And let's continue on, Exodus 9:16. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. God is orchestrating things in Scripture, even in your life today, so that he may be glorified. He is orchestrating events. Think of Job. What happened with Job? God is orchestrating and allowing things to happen, even orchestrating events like with Pharaoh, in order that the end result is that man would glorify God. That is the point here. God has been trying to get our attention since the beginning, since the fall in the Garden of Eden. Now think about this. What was the big sin in the Garden of Eden? Why was God so ticked off at us that he threw us out of the garden? Why? Let's go to that. Genesis 3:1-5. This is really important to get today. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat from the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Okay. Verse 4, but the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. The sin in the Garden of Eden, the sin that separated us from God, the sin that cast us out of the garden and we're still dealing with now, that sin was that we wanted to share glory with God. We wanted to be like God. We wanted to be on the same plane as God. And we did not want to give him the glory. We wanted the glory for ourselves as well. Okay? We wanted to share the glory with God. We were not created to share his glory. Listen, we were not created to share his glory. So then you ask, why were we created? It's very simple. God created us for his glory, for his own glory. Isaiah 43:7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God formed you and I, not because he was a little sad because he didn't have anybody to hang out with, okay? Not because he was lonely. He created us for his glory. The scripture, you don't have to listen to me. The scriptures say it. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. God formed you, God made you for the purposes of glorifying him. Not to share glory with him, not to say, look at me, the center of the world is me, but to glorify him and say, look at him, the center of the world is him. It's all about God. And we're to glorify him. This is the chief aim of our lives. There's probably one of the most respected theologians today. He wrote a great book on theology. His name is Wayne Grudem. Wayne Grudem, okay? And this is a quote from Wayne Grudem in his theology book. This fact guarantees that our lives are significant. When we first realize that God did not need to create us and does not need us for anything, we could conclude that our lives have no importance at all. But Scripture tells us that we were created to glorify God, indicating that we are important to God himself. God created us to glorify him. Therefore, we are important to God. We have a purpose with God. That is our purpose. You think of the angels. The angels were created to glorify God. So are we. We're created to glorify God. We are important because God saw fit to create us. He spent time to form us and make us so that we would glorify him. It's a beautiful picture. God is on the throne. We are glorifying and worshiping him is what we do every week. We're worshiping him. What are we going to do in the kingdom of God? What are we going to do in eternity? We're going to worship God. We're going to glorify God. Exactly why we were created. Why each and every one of us was created. Whether we realize it or not, that was why we were created. In fact, we were created in the image of God, it says, right? Genesis 1:26-27. I'm not going to read it. We were created to reflect his glory. If we're created in God's image, we're also created to reflect, not our glory, his glory. You know, this world is all constantly about people glorifying themselves. If you look at popular culture, if you look at TV, if you look at movies, if you look at anything, it's all about glorifying oneself. But we were created to reflect another one's glory, God's glory. We were created to reflect His glory. We need to think about that for a minute. You and I were created to reflect His glory, and we were made in His image to reflect His glory to people, to reflect His glory upon all the heavens and the earth. That was why we were created. So the question for us today, am I bringing God glory in my life? Am I reflecting God's glory in my life? Yes, when you're driving in the car. Yes, when you're at work. Yes, when you're doing whatever. Are you bringing God glory in your life? Are you bringing Him glory? People have this idealistic picture, you know, that as life as a believer, a follower of Yeshua is blissful and wonderful, and there's like birds chirping everywhere, and there's puppies and rainbows, right? It's a wonderful life. But that's not always how this life is, especially as a believer. We go through trials, we go through tribulations. Things, unfortunately, don't always work out like we want. If things are working out in your life, I want to talk to you because you're doing, I don't know what you're doing, but if things are always working out for you, if everything is going so great for you, there's a problem, is what I'm saying, right? If you don't have problems, there's a problem in your life. We know that through Scripture. I'm not going to go into that, but you know, look at any character in the Bible. Did they have a great life all the time? Was it blissful and wonderful? Were they hearing the birds chirping every day as they were, you know, scurrying down the road? No, it wasn't like that. There's problems, there's trials, there's tribulations. Things don't always work out in our life like they're supposed to. And it's not because we messed up, by the way. It's not because, oh, I screwed up, so bad things happen to me. Yes, that happens. But remember, there's a scripture, and I don't have it written here, but I think it's in Luke 9 or something, where they question Yeshua. They say, there's this blind boy here. Who sinned? The boy's parents? The boy? Why is he blind? Yeshua says, nobody sinned. This happened so that God's glory, basically God's glory might be displayed in his life. So God will be shown in his life. So sometimes things happen to us because we screw up. Okay, don't always blame it on something else. But sometimes things happen just because we're serving the Lord and things happen and there's trials because we serve a great God, but you know, a lot of the world doesn't. So they're not going to be very much into glorifying God like we are. So there's going to be trials. There's going to be problems. How can we bring God glory even when things are not going well in our life? You know, do you feel like glorifying God every time when you got health problems or your boss is yelling at you at work? Or there's financial issues in your life. It's so hard sometimes to glorify God in your life. Or that person cuts you off on the road. Whatever it is. Well, there's great biblical precedent for this. We can learn a lot from the scripture. When King Saul was jealous of David, who was more popular, getting all the recognition, kind of getting all the glory, so to speak, he was hunting David down to kill him, wasn't he? Because he was jealous. He didn't want his glory as the king to go to another. This poor boy who he brought up, right? This little shepherd boy, this runty guy, right? It's like, come on, I'm not going to share my glory with this little guy. Well, David was obviously more popular. David was blessed by the Lord, and Saul couldn't take it. So he was hunting him down to kill him. David was on the run, not for a couple of days, not for a couple of weeks, years. It got so bad that he had to go over to the enemy, the Philistines, and hang out there for a while. That's how bad it was. He literally had to flee all of his possessions, had to leave his wife, everything, and just get on the run. Doesn't sound like a great, blissful thing, right? Serving the Lord. David sinned, but he was serving the Lord. He knew the Lord. He was a man after God's own heart. So he's running from his life. Things are not going well. And you know what? He had opportunities to end it, didn't he? He had opportunities, two opportunities to kill Saul and to end it. And he would be justified because you know why? Saul was after him for the wrong reasons. And David was the king. He was anointed by Samuel. He had every reason to go and just chop his head off or whatever. Okay? It's my time. All right? You had your time. You screwed up, Saul. It's my time. He didn't do that. What did he do? 1 Samuel 24:6. This shows you the heart of David. This shows you the heart we need to have. He said to his men, David, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my Lord, talking about Saul, the Lord's anointed, to put out my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed. Listen, David was more concerned with doing the right thing and glorifying God than serving himself and taking the easy way out. You know, so many times in my life and in your life, there's an easy way to end it. You know, I am totally justified. This person is wronging me. I'm just going to tell them what's up, and I'm just going to do whatever it is. Are we glorifying God in all things? Maybe God's having you go through that situation for a time. It may not be fun. It wasn't fun for David, but God had to bring him through it for whatever reason. Maybe it was so that people would see God's glory, which is ultimately what happened. Because what did happen? Saul, not by David's hand, but Saul was eventually killed. He actually killed himself, right? Ran the sword through him. And eventually, God's will was done there. But David had to wait it out. When it didn't seem like it was right, and David felt justified, and come on, I didn't do this wrong. But you know what? David was more concerned with doing the right thing before the Lord, glorifying God, serving God, no matter what man said about him, no matter what man did about his situation, no matter if Saul was hunting him and killing him. Listen, when people are doing things to you, you don't need to go fire back. You don't need to do whatever. You need to trust the Lord like David did, and you need to say, I'm not going to do anything that's going to go against glorifying my God and my King. I'm not going to, you know, two rights don't make a wrong. You've heard, two wrongs don't make a right, right? Just because somebody wrongs you, don't wrong back. Let the Lord, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, correct? That's what the scriptures tell us. David waited on the Lord. David did not put his hand against God's anointed. David did the right thing, even when it didn't seem right. And he brought God glory. He brought God glory in his life. And I believe God blessed him all the more because he took the time to put God first and not himself first. When Yeshua, the Messiah, God in the flesh, right, was going to be crucified, he could have easily said, nope, I don't want to do that. Nope, we're not going to go like that. I'm going to have the angels come down. We're going to wipe out the Romans. We're going to do this. And you know what? It'll be great. We'll just do what we were supposed to do. I'm just going to cut right to the end of the book. He didn't do that. It would have been a lot easier. It would have been a lot more fun. But he had to go through what he had to go through because it was God's plan. And you know what? Because he did the right thing, because he followed the Lord, he brought glory to God. He didn't bring glory to himself. He didn't bring, and I'm speaking about as the son there. He could have easily done 1,000 other things, not face the criticism, not face the crucifixion, which was extremely painful. Not taking on the sins. By the way, we sin a lot. And all those sins have heaped on Yeshua. He didn't have to do that. But he was going to bring God glory. Look, read John 14 through 17, by the way, if you want to understand the heart, the will, okay? You'll understand Yeshua did what he had to do to bring God glory. We need to do what we have to do in our lives every single day to bring God glory. No matter what people say about you, no matter what people do, we are here to bring God glory and not ourselves and not others. His glory he will not share with anybody else. That was the sin in the Garden of Eden. Listen to what Yeshua says, John 17:4. I glorified you on earth. This is the Son talking to the Father. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. As a believer, we are servants, soldiers, here to do God's work. Your life is not your own anymore if you've given your life to God. You're now in God's army. You're now a part of God's family, and God has plans and purposes for you. Some things will be a lot of fun. Some things will not be a lot of fun. But when you go through the fun and the not fun things, how am I going to glorify God in my life? Because God, his chief aim is to be glorified, and our chief aim is to glorify him. We have to understand our rightful place. We have to understand our rightful place. So how do I do that? How do I glorify God in my life? That sounds wonderful. But how do I do that in my life? Number one, love God. That's real easy. First and greatest commandment, Mark 12:30. Mark 12:30, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Love God. Number two, fear him. Fear him. I don't mean be afraid of him. fear him. David had a healthy fear of God. Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord, which is a reverence, by the way, the healthy reverence of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Listen, before we can get to this book next week and start again at the beginning, we got to get this down. The fear of the Lord, the reverence God, the glorification of God is the beginning of everything, of knowledge. But you know what? Let's not be fools. Let's not despise wisdom and instruction. Let's not despise wisdom in God's Torah, His instructions for us. The healthy fear of the Lord, the glorification of our God, is the beginning of everything. And that's what we need to focus on. That's our whole job. It's our whole job in life. And number three, so love Him, fear Him, and number three, be a good witness for Him. Be a good witness. We're made in His image. We're here to reflect His glory. Be a good witness. Represent the Lord well in all you do. When things are going well, glorify God. When things are going really bad, glorify God. You'll get through it. I'm going to close with this scripture that I opened up with today, 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Listen, you and I were created to glorify Him, not to glorify ourselves, not to only do it until we're tired, and then we're going to just go glorify ourselves a little bit, or whatever. We're here to glorify Him. This is what we have to get to. This is what our life is all about. If you don't get this concept, if I don't get this concept, we're not going to get anything in that book. We're not going to get anything that God's trying to do in our lives. We have got to start at the beginning. And the beginning, even before the beginning, because it says in the beginning, before we even get there, we got to get this into our souls and into our hearts and our minds today. We're here to glorify the one who created us. And He needs to be glorified above all things. Let's pray. God of Israel, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, God of all creation, Lord, You formed the heavens and the earth. Lord, You formed the cosmos, the galaxy. There is nothing that gets past You. Lord, You are the Most High God that we sing about, that we chant, that we talk about. You are it. You're everything. And Lord, we seek today to glorify You above all things. Help us get to our rightful place. Lord, we've been sitting outside of that Garden of Eden for far too long saying, well, I want to be like God, knowing good and evil. I want to be just like God. I want to have that power. I want to have that whatever. Listen, it's not our power. It's not our strength to have. We need to get back to the rightful place, which is below the Lord, looking up and glorifying Him. That's what's going to give us the most peace. That's going to give us the most success. That's going to give us the most fulfillment and joy in life when we are properly in the place that we were created to be in. We were not created to glorify ourselves. We were not created to be like God, knowing good and evil. We were created to glorify Him and to live our lives for Him and to bring Him glory. Lord, let Your glory fill the whole earth. I pray for the day that You return, Yeshua. Your glory fills the whole earth. From Jerusalem out to the ends of the earth. Lord, we glorify You today. We pray this congregation continues to glorify You in all that we do. We give this congregation up to You, Lord God. We give our lives up to You with the sole purpose but to bring You glory. That's all it's all always about, no matter what. Lord, we put You first. And Lord, we pray that You would allow us to take that shelter in Your wings. Allow us to live our lives for You, Lord God. Provide for us, Lord God. And we can take that comfort to know that as we glorify You, You're going to take care of us, Lord. You're going to bless us. You're going to guide us. But Lord, it starts with glorifying You. So we give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory today in the name of Yeshua, who died for our sins, so that we may be back to that rightful state. We can reach out and eat from that tree of life that You told us we can't eat from after we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Lord. When we accept You in our heart, Yeshua, we can go and we can eat from that tree of life and live forever glorifying You. If there's anyone here that's never accepted Yeshua in their lives, I pray that You would just, in your heart of hearts now, just say, Lord, I have messed up. I'm tired of giving my glory to myself or to other people. I give my life up to you. I ask you to forgive me my sins in Yeshua's name. I accept that Yeshua died for my sins. And Lord, I want to give you glory. And that's what it takes to be part of God's kingdom. Lord, help us to walk with you today. Help us to serve you today. But Lord, help us to bring glory to you today as we seek, as our chief aim in life is to glorify you and see that your name is glorified on all the earth. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.